on this week's broadcast of Peace to Live By.
By focusing on God instead of what we want, then comes true happiness. It's important to remember as well for all of us, whether things are going good or whether they are going bad, that heaven is where absolutely all of our problems will be fixed.
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. The weekly radio program Peace to Live By features Bible teacher Daniel Litton and is found online at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of the broadcast is to give firm foundations of clear biblical truth and to share the truth with those who are not in a personal relationship with Jesus yet. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Happiness point number 117. Do what you really want to do. I believe one of the key core fundamental things to our lives is simply to do what we really want to do what makes you happy, as it is often said. We hear the phrase a lot, do what makes you happy, and actually it is experientially true. The best times in my life have been when I am aligned with what fits me, what makes sense in relation to what I personally like. This is true with working a career, doing Bible teaching, writing a blog, or making YouTube videos. Whatever it is that you want to do, it needs to align with what you care about. If it doesn't, then there is struggle. And when there is a lot of struggle, then happiness gets more and more pushed out of the picture. Now, even though I am happiest when I am doing what aligns with me, that doesn't mean that there hasn't been learning involved and some sweat to get it done. There is no situation in life, no matter what area you consider, that is 100% perfect across the board. That kind of happiness just doesn't exist in this life. But the goal is to have a weight scale weighing on the happy side, so that we are more happy than we are frustrated with whatever it is. It is when we are having more struggle than success that we really need to step back and consider what is going on. Now, that might be the case in the beginning when you are learning, but if happiness doesn't take over at some point, then a change might be on the horizon. Any time in my life that I have tried to do things out of obligation, force, or because I thought it was what I was supposed to do or had to do, the motivation didn't last long. That's because you can only run for so long on that kind of fuel. Sure, you can force yourself to go a long way when your heart isn't behind whatever it is, but you're going to be miserable day after day. It's just when you are doing things for the right reasons, simply because we like and want to do them, that it becomes easier and easier to do. And it ends up that it's fun and a pleasure to do whatever it is. That's where we want to be. Where we want to find ourselves. Since life is so much experience, then why would one want to spend their life having one bad experience after another? I mean, life really isn't about accomplishing goals. It may seem that way on paper, but that's not really what life is all about. It is about the experiences from goal to goal, or we might say it is about the process of accomplishing things. We spend time at our job. We enjoy the person we are interested in, whether we are dating or courting, or whether we are already married to the person. We don't simply rush through these experiences to achieve the goal. I mean, getting recognition at the job only lasts a day or a week. Getting married only lasts a day and then a week on the honeymoon. But what about the rest of the process in these matters? Happiness point number 118. Do not be frightened by the news. With so much bad news in our world, wherever it is coming from, there can be the easy temptation to become downtrodden by it. There can be that temptation to think that really the world is a messed up place and that everything is going down the tubes. Certainly, messed up things happen. There's no doubt about that. We need to remember, however, that the news we hear is generally the worst of what has happened. I mean, that's why it has made the headlines, or it involves big names or big organizations. With that in mind, we need to remember that for just as much bad news as there may be, there's much, much more in the world that didn't go wrong, but things that have gone normal and right. You see, when we are focused on what has gone wrong and what could have gone better, we are zeroing in on those things. What we often fail to consider in our minds is all the things that are going neutral and right. I mean, think about it. For the bad news that there is probably at least 100 times as many neutral and good things that have happened. The vast majority of the time, things go how they are supposed to go. Use your own life to understand that point. It's rare your car breaks down, or that you are sick in bed, or hopefully that you get in a big fight with someone. It is rare that your residence has a major problem, that your possessions get stolen, or that things even take a turn for the worse at your workplace. The Bible clearly tells us that what is happening now has happened in the past, that really, in the final analysis, there is nothing new going on. Remember, that's what King Solomon has taught us in Ecclesiastes. At times it seems like something new is happening, but really it has already happened in some way, shape, or form. Sure, new technology might be invented, but even that can be similar to what has been in the past. Really, it's a comforting thought to consider this. It means that God didn't lose control in the past when bad things were happening back then, and so he's certainly not going to lose control now when bad things are happening. Jesus truly does hold everything together by his power and love. And speaking of bad events, remember also that Jesus told us not to be frightened by bad things that are happening in the world as we approach the end of our current world setup. Surely, as we approach the end of our current phase, the earth is getting ready for the next phase. No need to really worry, no matter how much our minds try to convince us we should. In the next phase of the world, Christ will reign as King of the world. And in that time, everything, no matter what you consider, people, organizations, laws, whatever, everything will be in alignment with Him, with goodness in its full manifestation. So that will be a time and place of continued peace, and certainly a lot of happiness. Happiness will be 100% dominant in that time. Happiness point number 119, considering things from outside sources. One important thing I have learned over the years through practice is that it is important to read other things that don't necessarily or completely align with our personal beliefs. This includes listening to teachers as well. To state it plainly, the reasoning and logic behind this is that, well, simply, others can teach us new things that cannot be learned otherwise. If we surround ourselves with only books and people who teach what we already believe, then there really isn't much chance to learn anything new at the end of the day. In fact, I would argue that it can be dangerous to do so. I mean, we've seen this concept from time to time in corporate America. We can likely name one or two corporations that failed or were severely hurt by not considering things outside of their own way of doing things. They were closed-minded, and it ended up costing them dearly, literally, so to speak. I've even noticed churches that fall into this trap. I mean, there are churches that have fenced in everything they learn. They will only learn from certain teachers and certain books. So what happens is that the pastors and elders get tunnel vision, where they end up getting hurt by what? Well, they end up getting hurt not by what they know, but by what they don't know. Yes, if people surround themselves by only those who are like-minded, there will be a lot that they end up not knowing. I think often there is the prevailing fear that by listening to other voices outside the accepted beliefs, that there could be a leading astray that takes place. There can be a fear that people will be led astray by other teachings. However, I think this usually doesn't happen. If one believes the Bible to be the absolute truth, then what is the danger in learning from varying perspectives? If one is led to believe otherwise, to accept things that contradict the scriptures, then that person's faith really wasn't rooted and grounded to begin with, was it? Perhaps it's a test for the individual self to see where one stands. If one is easily led away, then that may be an indication that they really aren't rooted in the beliefs they say they have in the first place. So me, myself, I like to get varying perspectives on things. Generally, I like to agree with an author at least two-thirds of the time to spend a lot of time focusing on their work. But I will read those with whom I agree less with, but probably won't spend a lot of time with them. But I think it's important to consider the views of psychologists and self-help teachers who are outside the faith, because oftentimes they can teach us life skills that we cannot get anywhere else. They can teach us important things that usually aren't in Christian books. I don't see anything wrong with this at all. It's important for us to be as sharp as we possibly can be. And as long as we aren't following sin, I don't see anything bad about self-improvement from those who don't come from where we come from. Happiness point number 120. What is good to us. I generally stand by the phrase that I like what I like. Seems simple, and I think generally speaking, it is true. I have found it to be important to keep this in mind because if I don't, I could easily start to consider that I want something that really doesn't match what I know that I like. This could be with food and considering a lady to ask on a date, or with making a purchase. We all have different preferences when it comes to these things, but I think it is good to know what you usually like. One reason for us to be aware inside of ourselves of our individual preferences is because sometimes we can be tempted to go for something because of it seeming to be scarce. What I mean is that we might start to become interested in a person because they are the only person around. We aren't considering that there is time, and not every moment in life is going to manifest what we want. Sometimes we need to wait for the good that we would like to come. Same can be true with making purchases. We can be led to believe that because only two options are currently available, that we must purchase one of those options. But if those two things don't match our lives, we should put off the purchase and wait until we find what we know we truly like. This gives us happiness in the end. We can also fall into the trap of believing that what is truly good is out of our reach, that it has already been taken. However, I think this is usually deception that the mind tries to get us to believe in. While good things may have been taken, there are almost always good things that are currently or will be available later in time. To think that all the good is gone is hardly ever the case. It's just a mental deception that we often fall into. I know when I have waited on a lot of things that I almost always get what I want in the end. Sometimes I have to wait longer than I was planning, but by sticking to what I know I like, I win in the end. And this means I get to be happy when I get it. Happiness point number 121, solutions don't always come from the outside. We all have problems that we face on a daily basis, those problems which come to us out of nowhere. Generally, when we have an issue, there is the tendency to try to find the solution. We may pick up our Bibles and flip through the pages, hoping that some verse will pop out at us. We might pick up a self-help book or two off of our bookshelf and try to find the answer. Or perhaps we'll even throw up a prayer to God, hoping that He will bring some aid or some person to us that will help us. It's by these methods that we generally try to solve our problems. Yet there are times when we don't even have to go this far. What I mean is that often we already know the answer to our problem inside of ourselves. It's just that oftentimes we don't think that we do. We think we aren't smart enough. We forget that we have the image of God within ourselves, that we are created as good and capable beings. Why does the answer to our problem always have to be outside of ourselves? Why can't it be that we already know the answer, but that it is just not in the forefront of our thinking? What I like to do when I don't know the answer to something is simply to make the statement to myself, "It's okay if I figured this out, and it's okay if I don't." What happens when I make this decision is that it removes any mental blocks I have subconsciously put before myself in trying to find the answer to something. Yes, when I decide this, probably at least half the time, within minutes or some short period of time, the answer will just come to my mind naturally. The solution will present itself inside of my mind, like in the form of a different perspective or of a simple thing I have now realized. It has worked with big things and small things. We have this tendency when presented with problems to seek some new information by which our problem will be solved. But often I think we don't even need new information. Really, we already know the answer inside of us. God created us to think. He has given us minds that are powerful when unhindered. So don't always assume you need to go seek information to come to a solution. Certainly, this can sometimes be the case, but like I'm saying, it isn't always the case. When our minds are at peace, when we've casted our care, then the clarity can show up for us. Happiness point number 122, an important key when you face a disability. I was reading a letter in a book recently wherein a child was writing about how he was disabled. Granted, this letter was written about 50 years ago, so this was a while ago. Anyhow, the child was asking the readers how he might become better liked by his community. He said he gets frustrated with the seeming burden that others in his family had to face when being around him. Also, that they don't always want him to go everywhere and do everything with them. And he desperately wanted this to change. He obviously didn't want to be a burden, but he also wanted people to like him. Yes, even though he had a disability that apparently didn't allow him to walk, he still had the same mind all of us do. So what was this child's solution, or anyone's solution who finds themselves in this type of situation? Not wanting to be a burden, and yet at the same time, wanting to be liked and included. I think in any type of situation such as this, it is important for anyone to give up the strong desire for what they want. Doesn't seem right, does it? Give up the desire to be liked? Well, I think by having that strong desire, it can actually prevent people from getting what they want. The scripture tells us to cast our care on God and to not burden ourselves with the strong desire that people act a certain way towards us, for instance. If one was to say, I give this care to God, I will be happy whether people like me, and I will be happy even if they find me a burden. By doing that, one can remove any outward pressure they are putting on others by showing outward signs of dissatisfaction. No one wants to be disabled. None of us wants to have problems. Yet people face varying problems to varying degrees. And the best place I think one can find him or herself is to surrender what they want and to be happy in their relationship with God. None of us at first wants to hear that we need to surrender what we want. We don't like that because we see others who have what we want, so we think, why can't we have it? Well, to some degree, whatever that degree is, I think we can often have what others have. It's just that we are blocking any goodness that might come our way through not surrendering the strong desire that we have within ourselves. This is the key to surrender the desire and be okay if we get what we want or if we do not. We are putting all of our value in God. I think by practicing this method, you will find that you will get what you want, even if that's not involving the healing of a disability. Happiness can still be had in abundance inside the mind. By focusing on God instead of what we want, then comes true happiness. It's important to remember as well for all of us, whether things are going good or whether they are going bad, that heaven is where absolutely all of our problems will be fixed. there really will be no more wantingness of any kind, at least wantingness due to lack in some area. There will be no looking over at other people and wishing we had what they had. There won't be any wishing that others would treat us a certain way or that we could do what they do. We won't want to be like someone else. No, the truth of the matter is that we will be totally happy and always when we get to heaven. Happiness point number 123. Success doesn't always happen right away. One of the key fundamentals to our happiness is in this principle listed here. And that is that whenever we start something new, our success in that endeavor usually doesn't occur right away. We've all seen stories on the internet where videos go viral or someone becomes an overnight success at something. But what we need to realize is that this is not generally how it works. Nope, not at all. Generally, it takes time, years in fact, to become successful at something. Typically speaking, whenever you start out on a project, you expect the results to come really quickly, right? I mean, this can be with a diet. A person starts a diet and expects to lose a lot of weight, say after 2 weeks. But this usually doesn't happen. Rather, it could take 2 months instead to see a significant amount of weight loss, and still yet another 2 years to see all the necessary weight come off. But we as people want instantaneous results. And when these results do not come forth, people get discouraged and then perhaps even quit. They give up because it doesn't happen as fast as they thought it would. I remember when I first began preaching sermons that it really took me about, I would say, a year and a half before I really started to feel comfortable with the product. Then say another 6 months after that, where I really got into the groove. That's just often the way it works. It's not that anyone starts out at the very beginning at their maximum potential or talent. It takes time to build up that talent to where we like what we are seeing, and we are getting better and better results. I think the key is to just keep going regardless of how you feel. If we follow our feelings, when those feelings get bad, we are going to be in real trouble.
Thanks, Daniel. This is the Peace to Live By radio program featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. If you want to contact Daniel directly, send your email to daniel@peacetoliveby.org. You can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/peacetoliveby and be sure to hit the like button. Until next time, for Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry, Powell, Ohio.